There are a few things that we do in this life that take us from a human plane of existence and put us on a godly plane. And I would like to talk about one of them today. And because it's a godly quality, it's quite normal in this modern society that it lives in a state that sort of contradicts this principle. But sadly, even experienced Christians all too often embrace the opposite action. In fact, I wonder if it's an exaggeration to say that the most ground that Satan gains in our lives as mature Christian is due to us not embracing this godly standard that I'd like to talk about. Studies have shown that it benefits both individuals and society at large. It can enhance the emotional and physical health of a person. The people at the University of Wisconsin studied this subject, and they were surprised at how strong a healing agent this was when it was practiced. I mean, it actually changed a person's well-being. And for us as Christian, it not only benefits us physically, but it is essential to our very salvation. Yet this concept or action is probably one of the most difficult things that God will ever call upon us to do. Forgiveness. Let's look at the subject of forgiveness today. I mean, what exactly is forgiveness anyway? I mean, most people think that forgiveness and forgetting are kind of the same thing. But when someone has done something to hurt you or to hurt a loved one, can you really just forget about it? I mean, can you turn your mind off? Can it go blank and you not remember what they did? I mean, is it wrong to feel loss or pain from an action that somebody did to you? I mean, what is God asking for anyway? Just what is forgiveness? Well, the concept of forgiveness is really quite simple. The Greek word means to let loose from, to release. To forgive basically means to dismiss. When you forgive a person, you release them from the fault or blame. They are, in a sense, free. I mean, it sounds so easy, right? And yet, to forgive somebody can be so difficult. Have you ever wondered why it's so hard for us to forgive someone? Well, one reason forgiveness is so hard is, in reality, it just doesn't make sense. It goes against our very human nature. I mean, our sense of justice is, if you have wronged me, then you should pay for it. And doesn't justice demand that wrongs be punished? I mean, is that not fair? Shouldn't a person have to pay for their wrong? Shouldn't there be restitution when someone has caused a loss? When you forgive someone, you're telling them you don't have to pay. You are free. The blame is dismissed. Well, how can we look at forgiveness and feel, I mean, really deep inside, feel that it's right? I mean, that's why I think one reason forgiveness is so hard for us. It's our human nature. It just doesn't make sense. I think another reason forgiveness is so hard to give is that it's costly. So let's say you're late for church and you come racing in here and you hit my pickup truck and the whole front fender falls off. Well, then you realize, oh man, that was kind of a dumb thing to do. You come up to me and say, Ken, I'm really sorry. I was careless. You know, I wronged you terribly, and you tell me, look, I'm having some money problems. Will you forgive me? Well, if I say yes, who pays for the damage of my truck? I do. You go free. Forgiveness is not a receipt for a debt paid. I mean, I do not say, well, when you pay me $5,000 to fix it, then I'll forgive you. Because that is not forgiveness. That is just simply paying the debt. So do you see why it's so hard for us to forgive? If you forgive, you pay the loss. I mean, that's why forgiveness is so costly. So one, it doesn't make sense to us on a human level. And two, it has a real high price cost if we give it. I mean, can you honestly look at forgiveness and say that it is fair? I mean, where's the justice in it? And following that logic, could we not take it a step further and say, is God fair? I mean, he's the one asking us to show forgiveness. I mean, if somebody does something wrong, they should pay the consequence. There is no perversion of justice with the Lord our God. That is a quote from 2 Chronicles 19, verse 7. And if you think that your sense of justice is strong, realize that God's sense of justice is even stronger. In Genesis 2, verse 17, very familiar verse for us all. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. I mean, God clearly understands justice. None of us should get away with all our rebelliousness or our selfishness, in short, our sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. And if you break the law, you die. Justice, God's justice, perfect justice, demands that payment be made in full. Someone must pay for what we have done wrong toward God. So who paid? I mean, did we? Well, no, of course not. The payment is our life. I mean, that's just too big of debt that we cannot pay. Colossians 1, verse 14 says, "In whom we have redemption through Christ's blood, the forgiveness of sins." I mean, redemption means to release by paying a ransom price. I mean, God paid the ransom price himself to release us from sin. When forgiveness is granted to somebody, I mean, who bears the price or the hurt of the wrong? It's the one who's showing the forgiveness. I mean, that is why Christ died on the cross. Now, a lot of people think, well, God just used this innocent third party, Jesus, and punished him for our sin. I mean, how is that forgiveness? But if you wreck my truck and I go to Mr. Casperson and say, psh, they're in your church, I want you to pay me. I mean, that doesn't make sense, right? The payment has to be between the two people that the debt has occurred, the two people involved. The Bible calls Jesus God with us. He is shown to be God in the flesh. And if you're still in 1 Corinthians 1:14, if you keep reading, you'll see that Jesus was the very God of the universe, hanging on the cross, willingly absorbing in himself every miserable result of sin that we have done against him. Was it hard to God to forgive us? You better believe it. Was it costly? It was absolutely the costliest. It cost God, the Father, the very best thing that he had. Did we deserve that kind of sacrifice from God? Not a chance. I mean, since God has done this for us, he has asked us to do the same for others. Please turn to Matthew 18. Let's look at the parable of the unmerciful servant. Because you see, forgiveness is our problem. It's not God's. I mean, Peter had just asked Jesus, how often should he forgive a brother? And Peter gave him the number 7. Well, Jewish rabbis taught that three times was sufficient to forgive somebody. And Peter probably thought he was going to show off to Jesus and say, well, seven times. But Jesus answers 70 times seven. I mean, it really shows Peter that the spirit of forgiveness really has no boundaries. Verse 24, Matthew 18. Christ shows us why. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay his master's command, that his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that the payment be made. And the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience on me. I will pay it all to you. And the master of the servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him of his debt. Now compare to today's wages, these 10,000 talents equals $3 billion. I mean, notice the king went beyond the actual request. The request was, be patient, give me more time. And yet he was willing to forgive the debt entirely. Let's keep reading. Verse 28, but that servant went out and found that one of his fellow servant owed him 100 denarii, which is about $5,000. And he laid his hands on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, pay me for what you owe. So his servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, I'll pay you. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. Verse 32, then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all your debts because you begged me. Shouldn't you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was very angry and delivered him to the torturers until he pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. I mean, do you see why we must forgive? I mean, here's a key to help us understanding and or making forgiving others easier. And that is, we need to recognize that we owe a debt that we cannot pay. I mean, did you ever notice how angry the king was in this parable? I mean, that is how God feels when we, the big debtors, will not forgive another who really is a little debtor. I mean, our God is very patient and very merciful. However, it seems that there are a few things that he does, that we do, that really upset him, like hypocrisy or not representing him correctly. And another one is not forgiving someone when they ask. I mean, it costs God the very best he had, his son, to forgive you and me. Verse 28 shows us something else that God expects. And that's where it was talking about the 100 denarii, which is about $5,000. Now, compared to $3 billion, it's nothing. But still, $5,000 is no small amount of change. I mean, God is telling us here to forgive even when it hurts. Because he has forgiven us, he has every right to expect us to forgive others, even when it hurts. Well, so how do we forgive? I mean, that's a fair question. God has forgiven us. He expects us to forgive others. Well, then, how do we forgive? Well, I think a good place to start is to see how God has forgiven us. Jeremiah 31. In Jeremiah 31, and we'll read the end of verse 34, it says, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sins I will remember no more. And in Isaiah 43, verse 25, it says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. I mean, here the Bible is saying in forgiving us, God is promising not to remember what we did, our sins. And there's a little controversy here because some people think that God literally forgets the sin. And if you asked him, he would not remember it. However, I believe that God is not promising to have a lapse of memory. He's God. He knows everything. What he's promising here is that in forgiving our sins, he will not make mention of them again. He will not ever bring them up again. When you think about it, it really doesn't matter which side that of the argument you fall on, whether you think God literally forgets or he just doesn't mention it again, really the results to us are the same. You know, I remember years ago, I was at a church function, and a person came up to me and said something really stupid, and it offended me. And after the event, somebody must have told him what he said to me and why it was such an offensive thing to say. And the next time I saw my church, he came up to me and he apologized. And I told him, you know, don't worry about it, I forgive you. Well, a year later, there was a bunch of us sitting around a campfire, and we were discussing people. All right, we were gossiping. You people. And his name came up. Well, so there I went, and I regurgitated the whole event up for everyone to hear. Well, that is not forgiveness. He, as a Christian, did what he was supposed to do. He realized that he made a mistake, and he asked for my forgiveness. I, as a Christian, did not, and I sinned. I mean, forgiveness amounts to the promise to never bring the issue up again. Not to the offender, not to another person, I mean, not even to yourself in moping over the loss. If you do that in forgiving a person and you do not throw it up to them and tell others or sit around and stew about it, the matter will go dim in your memory, and eventually you will forget about it. And even if it's too big to forget, I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. Some offenses you can never forget about. Your memory will never let go of some of the painful events that happen in your life. However, with forgiveness, the event will no longer have the significance to you. It will lose the impact that it has in your life. I mean, that is the power of forgiveness. Let's look at God's attitude in forgiving us. Remember the parable of the lost son? It's found in Luke 15, and it's in verses 11 through 24. A man had two sons, and the younger one ran off and lived this wild life, and he squandered his wealth to the point that he had to work and live with pigs, and he realized that even the pigs had it better than what had become of him. I mean, and that's pretty bad if you've ever lived around pigs. So he returned to his father in a repentant attitude. And in verse 20 of Luke 15, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, the father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I mean, notice the father did not even wait for the son to reach him. I mean, this shows that the heart of forgiveness is eager. It's not reluctant. It doesn't even wait for the repentant sinner to arrive. I mean, that's how God forgives us, and that's how he wants us to forgive others. But what if it's just too painful to forgive? I mean, what if you don't want to forgive? Well, if you don't forgive, it can be really detrimental in your life. The first thing it's going to do is it's going to imprison you in your past. As long as you fail to forgive someone who sins against you, you are shackled to the past. Not forgiving a person keeps the pain alive. I had my car stolen once, years and years ago. And months later, I remember I would drive around feeling angry toward anyone who looked like they might have or could have stolen my car. I mean, not showing forgiveness never lets the wound heal. You go through life reminding yourself of what was done to you. I mean, forgiveness is standing up and facing the future without the weight of the past. I remember this side note here, it was kind of funny. I was at a softball game, and I was a church softball game, so you know, we were with a bunch of church people. And I was telling them just how angry, I mean, it was months, and it cost me so much to get my car back, and it was wrecked, and it was, I mean, it just was miserable in life. And I was telling this church member that, and it was funny because he kind of paused and went, I stole the car when I was a teenager. We just left it in a cornfield. We took it for a drawer ride, left it in a cornfield. And it was funny because I think it became aware to him just how much he hurt somebody, and he didn't really realize. But to me, it was like, oh, well, he could be the person who stole my car. It was like, that helped me forgive. That was just kind of weird. I think the second thing, by having an unforgiving heart, is that it's going to produce bitterness into you. And bitterness leads to resentment. I mean, resentment literally means to feel it again. You feel it over and over. I mean, bitterness can be directly traced to the failure to forgive. Marriage. Oh, what an area that is fertile ground for bitterness. Bitterness from not forgiving. You know, in a marriage, it is utterly impossible not to offend each other. Now, half of you probably will disagree with this. But in a marriage, neither one of you is perfect. With forgiveness in operation, an offense is just a moment in time. It comes and it goes. But without forgiveness in a relationship, an offense accumulates bitterness and snowballs into a lack of affection or kindness. I mean, it will devastate a relationship. I mean, without forgiveness, a close relationship will not survive. I think the third thing, if we don't forgive, I mean, bitterness and the desire for vengeance will take a very high toll in your life. I mean, bitterness is not just a sin, it's an infection. It infects your whole life. You know, I remember I was talking to a woman who was describing her divorce, and tears were just gushing down her face as she told me how hateful her soon-to-be ex-husband was to her. And she went into the lies that her ex-husband, or soon-to-be, was telling their 10-year-old son about her, and how the son was reacting with hate toward her, the mother. I mean, this bitterness did not just affect the husband, but it also affected the mother and the child. And I'm sure it affected all of their relationships. I mean, hateful, vengeful people don't have many friends. Their suspicions and distrust and their caustic cynicism will soon drive away even their closest friends. You know, not forgiving can lead to physical and mental problems. The University of Stanford did a study that showed people who showed forgiveness substantially reduced the amount of anger that they harbored. I mean, bitterness will elevate your blood pressure. It'll upset your digestive system. It'll give you ulcers. It can lead to heart problems, even a nervous breakdown. I mean, our bodies were not designed to withstand the constant presence of the kind of emotions that bitterness unleashes inside of us. And physically, it's hard, but spiritually, it is devastating. If you do not forgive somebody, you will give Satan an open door in your life. In fact, it's not just an open door. I mean, it throws out the welcome mat. It's like putting a big neon sign that says, free beer and chicken, come on inside. I mean, that is what happens. Where you have unresolved anger, where you have bitterness, where you have an unforgiving spirit, you will have Satan the devil. And when Satan gets a foothold in your life, I mean, what is one of the first things that happen? Well, your relationship with God is obstructed. That's what he wants. If you're living in a state of not showing forgiveness, your relationship with God cannot be right. You can't draw near to God with an unforgiving heart. And if going down this road of not showing forgiveness doesn't lead to enough misery in our lives, if you do not forgive, you will not enjoy forgiveness from God. Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive your trespasses. And that is a high price to pay for a lack of forgiveness. You know what the bottom line is? If we do not forgive, it will cost us our salvation. I mean, that's just how serious not forgiving somebody is. I mean, forgiveness. When we practice forgiveness, something really cool happens in our life. Our faith in God will increase. In fact, forgiveness in itself is an act of faith. If you seek revenge, what are you doing? I mean, you are taking on the authority of God. Romans 12, verse 20. God says, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. Well, when you don't forgive somebody, when you carry around the anger and the bitterness and the hostility, I mean, you're literally taking the sword of judgment out of God's hand and you're using it yourself. I mean, you're saying, "God, give me that sword. I'm taking over." And when you do that, you're telling God that he is not a good judge, that he is unable to judge this situation. And really, who is better to judge a situation, us or God? I mean, duh, right? It's no question, God is. Your faith will truly grow if you show forgiveness. And I think another key to help us make forgiving easier is to understand that offenses against us are our trials. When somebody offends you, that is a trial that you have to deal with. God uses trials to help us grow. If you pass a trial and forgive, it is a trial producing strength. But if you fail the trial and you do not forgive, it is a trial that produces sin. I mean, these events that come in life can go either way. Right? You can produce righteousness or unrighteousness in any situation. And thinking about it in those terms, is what was done to you really the biggest concern? Or should the concern be whether the actions against you become a test that make you strong or a test that make you sin? I mean, if you want to be truly Christian, then no matter what anybody does to you, if they ask for forgiveness, you forgive them. I'm not naive enough to think that you will not feel the pain when someone says something about you or does something to offend you. It's not wrong to feel pain. It is wrong to let those feelings lead you to an unforgiving heart. You will feel, but you cannot let your feelings lead you. You must choose the action. And forgiveness is an action of will. But when every feeling that you have is screaming that the action of forgiveness is not right, I mean, can you still forgive? Well, that is a crossroad in your life as a Christian. And crossroads in life are painful. When you come to the place where you learn whether you are serious about your faith or not, whether you actually believe what we're learning every week. I mean, as true Christians, we need to strive to do what is right, even when our feelings are not in favor of it. You choose the action, and eventually your feelings will follow. When you choose to forgive, I mean, a day later, that resentful feeling might come back. But then you just remind yourself that you have chosen forgiveness and you let it go. And no matter how many times the resentful feelings come up, and it may be many, many times in some cases, and that's normal, you remind yourself the course that you are taking, and that is to forgive. You tell God of your anger and give the problem to Him. Tell Him that you don't want it anymore. You're giving it to Him. It's now your problem, God. It's not mine anymore. And if you have to go to God 100 times a day, then go to God 100 times a day. I mean, there is a saying that forgiveness is not just one step. It is a flight of stairs. I mean, forgiveness, it's the only solution. I mean, it breaks the cycle of pain. It breaks the cycle of blame. I mean, there's a drawback to vengeance. Where does vengeance end? I mean, I looked at years ago, I remember the story of Kosovo and the country and the historical grievances, and the Serbs killed the Croatians, and NATO came in and pushed the Serbs out. And when the Croatians got in power, they killed the Serbs. And on and on and on it goes, and whoever's in power will oppress the other one. I mean, Gandhi was quoted as saying, if everyone followed the eye for the eye principle of justice, eventually the whole world would be blind. I mean, forgiveness doesn't settle all the questions of blame. In fact, it often evades those questions. But it allows relationships to start over. And after all of this, I mean, I still think there's this question that's begging to be answered. What if a person wrongs you and does not ask for forgiveness? Should we forgive that person anyway? Well, the answer might surprise you, because I believe the answer says, no, you don't forgive that person. I remember when I told my sister-in-law this, she just exploded and she yelled and she screamed and she told me how dumb I was and that I wasn't preaching the truth. But forgiveness is granted when there is an acknowledgement of wrong and a resulting repentance. Luke 17, verse 3 and 4. Luke 17, verse 3. Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in the day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. I mean, notice the condition of forgiveness. If he repents, forgive him. I mean, that, when you think about it, it perfectly fits into God's plan, right? We, of all people, understand that God is calling us to change our human nature, to choose to live God's way. We're being called into God's family. Well, that path, repentance, is the first step to reach that ultimate goal. And God needs all people to repent to reach the goal that He's giving us, the gift that He's giving us. Well, how can we forgive a person who does not repent if it doesn't fit into God's plan? I mean, can we outdo God? Can we forgive someone when God doesn't? I mean, isn't that why God has a second resurrection? To give everyone a chance to repent? I mean, my sister-in-law brought up some really good points when she was arguing with me. One of them was, well, what about Jesus dying on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But this doesn't mean that Christ asked God to forgive them without their repentance. And I think in Acts 2, verse 22 through 36, God eventually did forgive them after they repented. Forgiveness is granted by a Christian when there is repentance on the part of the wrongdoer. So, when someone refuses to repent of a wrong they have done, does that mean that we can be bitter and angry with that person? I mean, have we found a loophole in God's law? Can we hate the person who has wronged us and doesn't care about it? Well, this happened to Paul. 2 Timothy 4. Look at what he does. Paul in 2 Timothy 4, verse 14. Paul warned Timothy about a dangerous metal worker. And he said in verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. When somebody does you wrong and could care less about it, you have to turn the matter over to God. You pray to God and you say, God, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want this baggage in my life. You take it. Well, then what? What do you do after that? Matthew 5, verse 44. Oh, one of the tough verses in the Bible. Matthew 5, verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemy. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. I mean, as a Christian, your responsibility when someone wrongs you and will not repent is to turn over the supposed right of vengeance to God. And in its place, you pray for the person. You give them a blessing instead of a curse. Well, why? Well, it holds the door open in the hope the person will someday see the error of their way and repent. And two, you won't go through all the things that I described earlier that imprison you in the past and the bitterness and the mental and physical and spiritual turmoil that and your relationship with God being obstructed. You don't have to go through any of that. You know what? Whether you agree or disagree with me on this point, like my sister-in-law, who still disagrees with me, I mean, either way, if you think you can forgive someone who does you wrong but doesn't repent, or if you think, well, you know, technically you can't forgive them, but you just let it go and you let God take it, you know what? Either way, your actions really are the same, aren't they? Either way, your actions are the same. So in conclusion, don't let an unforgiving heart interfere with your direct line of power from God. You know what? God has some big plans for you folks. Big plans. By experiencing forgiveness now, we in the future will be able to help people like that crying mother whose unforgiving husband was in anger, destroying her relationship with her son. We will be able to help people in Kosovo and all the oppression in this world. We will be able to help our neighbors and our families. I mean, it not only benefits us now and in our future, but we can use the experience to benefit others in the world tomorrow. You know, God did not have to give us the experience of forgiving. Do you know why? Because the sins against us are really greater sins against God. God is empowering us with forgiveness. I mean, of all the human qualities that make us in any sense like God, is there really any more divine than forgiveness? I mean, Solomon said, it is to a man, a person's glory, to overlook a transgression. I mean, is there another time when we are acting more like God than when we are forgiving someone? It's us doing the very act that God does for us. Forgiveness. What a privilege God is giving us. What a precious gift that God is giving us the opportunity to use.